Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night. It is like 10:45 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're here. We're live. The Edge of Reality on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Yes, you heard me correctly. We are live. We are here. I know. It has been a minute since you've last heard from us. It has been a couple of minutes, as a matter of fact, since you last heard from us. Yes, we've missed you too. But now we're back. We got a lot to discuss. We've got Survivor 40, All-Stars, Winners at War we need to discuss. Since we have last left you, there's a reality show all about making things out of Legos. So much has happened. We need to break it down before we get into anything else. I got to say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Good evening, Allie. First off, we should probably have some explanations of what's been going on. We won't go into a ton of detail. I mean, it's kind of like boring, but first of all, we were the hipster sisters back in August. Both moms broke their hips. And then after that, I had a death in my family that has been very overwhelming, and that is why it's on me. So 10:30-ish, I believe I just called you and said, do you want to do a show? And it's been all of that, trying to get on the dumb air because it's been so long, I forgot how. So how have you been?
It's just like riding a bike, I tell you. You know, once we get into it, it's like we never left. But we have missed you guys. We have missed talking about reality TV. Yes, life got in the way a little bit for both of us. That hasn't meant that we have completely abandoned the idea of just watching, you know, crap reality TV and talking about it. Nope. I would just kind of talk to myself about it, weirdly enough, and talk to whoever would listen to me. So I'm very excited to be back and talking to you guys and talking to everyone. None better than the day after the Survivor 40 premiere. Now, we missed all of Survivor 39. That's how long it's been since we last spoke. We missed all of Survivor 39.
Of which
but
I
in reality,
didn't watch any of, and you said I didn't miss anything. So
I was just about to say, we didn't miss much. The sad thing about it is it was actually a pretty solid season in a lot of ways. It wasn't a terrible season in terms of the game and in terms of the game mechanics. What made it a rough season was everything that was happening in terms of what was going on with Dan and that whole debacle with the inappropriate touching and that really cast a terrible shadow on a season that I would consider solid, and definitely taking away everything that was going on not game related, you know, a much better show, a much better season than season 38, because I hated Edge of Extinction very, very, very much. That being said, here we go. We're at season 40. We're at Winners at War, and we have Edge of Extinction. It's like,
I know.
I can't have nice things. I can't have nice things. It's like, it's your dream to have an all-winter season, Allie. You've wanted this for years and years and years. Oh, but wait, if we give this to you, we also have to give you the worst twist in Survivor history as well. We need to do it together.
Now, but
okay.
Slow your roll. If you think about this, this might be the only saving grace for Rob if you want Rob to stay in the game.
Do I want Rob to stay in the game?
What I'm saying is, for those that want Rob to stay in the game, this might be the only saving grace by Amber being on the island. I'm just saying.
Well, we can talk. Let's talk about all of that. I mean, you know, we can get into the game mechanics, because not only is there an edge of extinction element to it, but there's also a fire token element to it, a new advantage developed for season 40. And so I gotta say full disclosure, I knew that fire tokens were going to be a part of the game before the season started. They talked about it. I honestly had no clue what they were or what they meant, but I wasn't mad at the idea of some sort of currency, literal currency in the game. That wasn't a problem to me. I think that the edge of the extinction and currency and idols and whatever the advantages that are going to come our way, it is 100% going to be too much. And it's a shame, because in a season where we will get to see literal winners, it makes it feel like the winner of this season is going to be determined by some sort of fluke. It's going to be like, who was able to dodge every, like, you know, every twist, not necessarily who played the best game. So that's kind of a bummer to start out with. But when the introduction of fire tokens happened, I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. You know, with one token, you can get an idol or you can get a pizza. You know, the choice is yours.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the person who's buying a pizza with their token?
Tyson.
No, Tyson's
kidding.
I gotta say that I was super excited about this season. I'm not a Survivor completist, meaning I haven't watched every single season of Survivor. I can't remember the season that I started watching, but the earlier seasons, I've never seen Ethan play. You know, I've never seen Danny Boatwright play. I've never seen some of these people coming in to play. But for the most part, I've seen the majority of the winners play in their original seasons. And watching the boats, the opening scenes last night, watching them go, I was so pumped, Priscilla. I was so excited for this. It made me so happy just to see all of these people again. The one thing that I was really happy about, well, I was happy about many things, but I'll break it down. I knew that the social dynamics of this game are years in the making, Priscilla. We have no idea who is friends with who outside of the game, who has been in contact, who has been, like, going into each other's DMs to form alliances. And so when you're in a situation like that where you know that you're going to be playing this game, and you know you're going to be playing this game with specific people, you have plenty of time to form alliances and all that kind of stuff. That being said, I think they did a really good job last night of breaking down some of the alliances that have formed outside of the game. I mean, they talked a lot about the Poker Alliance, which is, you know, Boston Rob, Tyson, you know, Kim Spradlin, Amber, obviously, being married to Rob. you know, all of these people who are on the poker circuit that play poker together. You know, they did a really good job of kind of breaking down some of these outside alliances, and we're truly never going to get a full understanding of these relationships, but at least they're trying their best to kind of give us a little bit more insight as to why people were going to be broken down in the game. Because frankly, the first two people who went home, Priscilla, went home solely because of their outside relationships and had nothing to do with what was going on in the game itself. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Absolutely. And then Amber got a raw deal because the poker alliance would be Rob, not Amber.
Well, of course. I mean, and breaking that down with, I mean, I knew going into this game that every week it was going to be sad to lose someone. You know, I like so many of these people. But Natalie Anderson is like one of the top for me. I loved Natalie on her original season. Obviously, we're a reality TV show podcast, so we also watched Amazing Race. We loved Natalie. We loved the Twinnies on their seasons of Amazing Race as well. You know, so it was. I was devastated to watch Natalie go home first. And to watch her go home first through really no fault of her own, except for being super close to Jeremy and not necessarily hiding that relationship. I mean, in Natalie's defense, I think that she could have spit in Jeremy's eye and they would have said, you know, they're best friends. I don't think there was anything that they could have done to separate, maybe staged a fight outside of the game like a year before. Staged some sort of Twitter war, but other than that, I don't know what else they could have done, you know, so that really sucked to see that she went home just because of a pregame relationship that was taking place. I hate that they put Natalie and Jeremy on the same tribe, Priscilla. I hate that occurred.
Is it a good thing Robin and Amber were separated?
Oh, absolutely. I really thought when I was thinking about the tribe breakdown, I thought that Sarah and Tony were going to be separated and they weren't. I thought Natalie and Jeremy were going to be separated and they weren't. Amber and Rob were going to be separated, and I knew that. And I thought because of season 39, Amber and Sandra were going to, or not Amber, Rob and Sandra were going to be separated, and therefore Sandra and Amber were going to be on the same tribe. So I thought that a lot of these kind of relationships were going to be broken up through tribe alliances. So, I mean, it really, really sucks that Jeremy...
Sandra's hostility against Rob about not telling her because they were together. Did she tell Rob? Because I'm sure it was in the contract that they couldn't. So, if she... Because I'm sure she didn't tell Rob she was going to be there.
She
just spent 36 days with Rob, and Rob didn't say anything about him or Amber being there, and that's what she was so hostile about.
I didn't catch that. I didn't realize that Sandra was mad at Rob or Amber Rob and Amber were going to be on the show.
She was very mad because they just spent 36 days together, and Rob never told her that he was going to be there, and let alone Amber going to be there. That's what she was pissed about.
I was wondering.
They never finished. They
She mentioned it several times, but the way they edited it, they cut out some of it.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. I knew that they weren't. And if you are Dalton Ross, who I think is just great from Entertainment Weekly, he's been doing a lot of, like, who is your first vote going to be cast for? And Rob and Amber both said Sandra, which I thought was interesting. Because I thought going into 39 that Rob and Sandra were actually going to work together, because they knew kind of like what Rob and Parvati kind of understood last night, which was like, yo, we're huge targets. We need to stick together. So I was surprised by those answers. I was also kind of surprised. I know I'm jumping topic here, but several of the castmates said Sarah Lucina is the person that they wanted to vote out first. And I thought that was an interesting choice. Maybe it's because she played more recently and they saw the kind of game she played for Second Chances. But I just thought, wow, why, you know, the fact that not every single person is writing down Rob's name is astounding to me. I just thought that was super interesting. Another thing that I find interesting, and I'm kind of mad at myself, Priscilla, because I participated in a Survivor draft a couple days ago, and I had the opportunity to pick Tony, and I didn't, because I thought about Tony's last season on Second Chances and just thought, oh, my God, he was such a mess. And I kind of think that maybe Tony can kind of sneak by here. If that, I mean, that it's such a hard thing to believe that Tony can sneak by. But I thought he was really, he had a really good couple episodes last night. And I think that Tony, there's a possibility that Tony could go very far in this game. And I'm shocked by this.
I didn't think that of Tony, but you know who I did think of it? And you're not going to agree with me. Parvati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Parvati is, I mean, let's face it, I love Parvati. I am rooting for her. I mean, but I was very interested going into all of these winners. I was very interested to see the game that Parvati is going to play, because she can't play the same game she's previously played. And she alluded to it during the opening episode, where she talked about she's married now, she has a 10-month-old, she can't play the flirty game that she once played, and so she has to do it differently. And I agree with you. I think she's someone, too, that, you know, she plays the social game correctly. She aligns with the right people. She can go really far. Look, everybody's a threat. Rob said it during one of the tribal councils, and he was right. Everybody is a threat. Everybody should be out of this game. But not everybody is. I mean, there are going to be people who make it really far in the game. And I just would hate for the people to be very far in the game to be people that make it because, you know, Edge of Extinction or this fire token twist, or, you know.
I still think that that's going to be saving grace to Rob, to be honest.
Oh, I think so, too.
Now that Amber's there.
I think
there,
so, too.
And only until Amber got there did it click. That is Rob's saving grace. If, after Natalie got the option to get an idol and Sandra to buy it with her token, this is going to be Rob's only chance if Amber's able to do those kind of things from the island and then to parlay them to Rob. Basically, she's going to sacrifice her game to keep Rob in.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think the only way that Rob lasts for a couple episodes is that if there are a lot of twists and turns that are able to keep him in. You know, he is, you know, this is a terrible, 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 terrible comparison, so I'm sorry, everyone. But Rob's Johnny Bananas, okay? You don't put Johnny Bananas
has
been going.
I do not agree with that at all. You know how I feel about Johnny Bananas. I would not compare him to Johnny Bananas.
No. I don't mean, I'm not saying personality. I'm just saying where they are in this game. Johnny goes to the challenge every single season, and he's targeted early because they know who he is. That's Rob. They know who he is. This is time number 5. This is the 5th time he is playing. And if I was Rob and I was thinking about this last night, I would have said, hey, look, guys, I've played this game 4 times. I've only won once. My win rate is 25%. Some of you are 1-for-1. You have a 100% success rate here in this game. I've played this game 3 other times and I have lost. I would totally play up that aspect of the fact that I've played this many times and I have lost most of the times that I've played. I've only won 1 time. I got to the finals once, and I lost to my wife. I have not won every time I have played. Just the opposite. I have lost most of the times I have played. That's 100% what I would be saying. I would be looking at the one-time winners, the people that have only played in the game once, and going, you know, hey, Nick Wilson, hey, Ethan, hey, Yul, all of these players who have only played once, you know, they're 1-for-1. They have a perfect game going on right now. That's the approach I would take with Rob. But anyway, to finish my comparison, people know where they're at with Rob, and he's not long for this game. The only way that he is going to be in this game is through some sort of twist intervention. And I'm telling you right now, I'm indifferent to Boston Rob. I don't like him. I don't hate him. He's, you know, out of all of the characters in Survivor history, he's not like some, I know that he's a pivotal Survivor player, but he's not like my favorite Survivor player of all time. It would be a damn shame for anyone to stay in the game because of a bunch of twists. I don't think anybody, I mean, for $2 million, I'm sure they want to stay in the game no matter what. I mean, you know, no matter what. But, you know, I don't think anybody wants to necessarily win because they had a bunch of twists kind of work in their favor. I don't know. I don't see this as being Rob's game. I think, you know, the person who ends up winning is going to be like the random person that we haven't seen a lot of yet. You know, Ben, Nick Wilson, Danny, you know, someone like that, someone super random. You know, go back to All Stars. Amber, the first time she played was nothing fancy. You know, it was even amazing that she was on an All-Star season and she ended up winning the game. Sarah Lucina and Second Chances, same kind of thing. The first time she played, she was out in the merge, nothing great. And then she came and she played a completely different game and she won because people didn't see it coming. I think the person who wins this game, it's because no one else necessarily saw them coming. So, you know, I don't think one of the big names is going to ultimately end up winning it. That was my strategy for choosing my draft people anyway. So my draft team looks like the, you know, the most random squad of winners you could ever see, but that's who I think is going to win. That's my prediction. Priscilla, do you have a prediction so far of who you think is going to go far, who you think is going to win?
God, I don't even know how you would even try to do that right now. There are so many ways to go. I mean, I guess I'd probably go with one that's not real vocal, one that's not going to start out leading the team. I don't think Sanders is going to be there long. I think Rob's only saving grace is Amber being on the island. Natalie's interesting to me. Why she give her thing to Sandra? So that kind of intrigued me a little bit of that combo. I would probably go with one of the older timers that is trying to get their legs. I think what is his name?
Yoel.
I think that he's from the old school, but I think that he is starting too fast. He's pacing too fast. I think if he would have stayed in the background, because if I remember right, in his original season, he was pretty quiet. And I don't remember him being that bold. I mean, like out of the gate, kind of.
Yeah.
So
Yul's an interesting character, and he's actually, yeah. I drafted him. He's on my draft team for that very reason of what you just said. I was thinking it's going to be, you know, the person who wins, it's going to be an old school person that the others don't see coming. He was quieter on his first season. He's a very successful. He works at Facebook or Google, one of those tech companies. He's a very high-powered guy, and he doesn't have a lot of. He's not hanging out with a lot of survivors. He doesn't have a lot of survivor connections. So I thought maybe he could get into a situation where he's like the third wheel, or you know he's five of you know there's two pairs and he's in the middle, which is always kind of a nice place to be in. So I chose him. I also think that, you know, a lot of people talk about, if someone's wealthy, they have less of a chance of winning, you know, to win a jury vote. And I don't think you're necessarily going to see that this time around, considering that they're all millionaire. They all have won at least $1 million. So I think that he has a good shot. I don't think people are going to say, oh, he has a big, important job. He makes a lot of money at his job. Therefore, we're not going to give him the $2 million. I think, you know, that's not going to be a factor. Let me ask you this, Priscilla. You know, season 38, the fact that Chris came back from Edge of Extinction and won, I was very sad about. We also had Rick Devens, who also came out of back from Edge of Extinction and made it to Final Four. My prediction is we don't see that. We don't see that again. We don't see, you know, I don't think Natalie or Amber wins this game. In other words, I don't think they come back and win.
And
a jury is not going to reward that.
I don't think that the buyback is going to be the same. I don't think it's going to be competition driven from what I have seen of how the clues have read. I think it's going to be driven on these freaking token things.
Oh,
I agree.
I don't think people are going to get back in the same way, but I think that at least two people are going to come back into the game at some point. But I don't think those people are ultimately going to win. I don't think that a jury of people they watched all of season 38, so they know what went down with Chris. I don't think that I think they're going to reward the players that were never voted out of the game. I don't think they're going to award the win to somebody who was voted out.
Now, if you think about it in that way, Natalie actually has the better chance of the buyback back in because she's going to be there longer. She has the more potential to be able to win.
more tokens if this is how that's going to work. Now, when more people start to arrive, they're going to start fighting for more, but then they're going to have less. And the one thing that I'm not, I don't want to see like what happened the last time when, was it Sheree went home, is and everybody has a freaking idol. And then it's like one of those things is, oh, the only person that don't have something goes home. I don't want to see that again. I don't think that's
a good
thing.
I think that there's a great chance that we're going to see something like that. I think it, you know, it depends on how many twists and things and idols that they're going to put in the game all at once. I mean, I think there's a great chance something like that could happen. You know, I've thought about that a lot. Sheree is probably my favorite player in Survivor history, so it was devastating to me when that went down for her. But, you know, in the producer's mind, that was the best thing that could happen ever in the history of the world. So, I mean, would they love to see that again? Absolutely. You know, they've done a better job of putting limits on the idols.
So well, they do. This one was 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's three tribals. So they've done a better job at, you know, putting time limits and forcing people to use them and not saving them to the end. So at least we have that. But, you know, I don't want to see 17 idols in the game at once. I don't, you know, I feel like there's a lot of interesting things happening with the fire tokens. We can see that play out. You don't need the twists in the game when you have so many dynamic personalities. You know, that's a big thing.
2 weeks and then we go to three, is that what you're going to say? Three more weeks before we go to three teams? Three tribes? Think we'll go three tribes?
No, I think it'll be less than that. I think we'll do one more week and then the week following. Because we've already lost two people. Maybe 2 weeks. Maybe we'll lose four people. But they like to swap a tribe pretty quickly. They've been doing it sooner and sooner lately. So, and I believe we'll get an early merge too, where we'll have a large merge.
I want to keep the two tribes.
Well, I always want to keep the two tribes. I you know how I feel about a three tribe system, but I think we'll. And they might keep it the two tribes and do a swap, you know. But I think we'll get a swap tribe the week after next. They've been doing it earlier and earlier lately, so I can see that happening.
I think you get more conflict with two tribes as opposed to three tribes. I think you get more hustle up and. I think it alleviates this, like, all or nothing mentality. You know, like
well, it alleviates the straightforward voting. If you have three tribes of five people, and there's three people from one tribe, original tribe, and two from the other, well, you know, the two people, if you lost, you're screwed. You know, there's not really much you can do. At least with two tribes, there's a little bit with more people. There's more room to finagle, but so you know we hate three tribe system, but I can see it happening at some point. You know, I can see it all happening.
I do like the statement that was made though that not one but $2 million at stake. Friends are out the door. This is game time.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. Oh, yeah.
We'll see how many chips are lost after this season, I guess.
Would it bother you if Sia gives them money this season? Because I hate to see a money so much, but I feel like they're playing for $2 million. They've already won $1 million. If Sia comes in and starts giving people money this season, I'm going to be like, Sia, please, put your money away. I mean, please. There's so many other things going on in this world that you can donate to. Please do not give it to people who have already won $1 million. I thought about that last night. I was like, see ya. I can't.
You think of the worst thing at this time.
Not that, speaking of Sia, not to like.
And you're already thinking of Sia in the finale.
Well, because I'm like, Sia, what the hell? Where, you know, Sia every year is giving out more and more money. We didn't even talk about this. Season 39, she gave two people $100,000 each, and then another person $25,000. The one thing was, it was all women, so I was like, thank God, because I was like, Sia, what are you doing? But he gave Janet $100,000, and you know, she gave $225,000 out to people. $225,000. That's insane to me.
Yes, she's gonna have to put out another album so she can be able to afford next season, I guess.
Oh my God, she can't. She can't. Sia needs to take this season off. And speaking of Sia, we didn't talk about The Circle either, which, you know, we'll talk about at some point one day when I'm not freaking out over Survivor. But, you know, Sia gave money to the Circle players too. Sia is just giving people money left and friggin' right. Circle players. Circle players Sia is giving money to.
Explain them. It's not people that are sitting in a circle. This is actually the television reality show, which was one of the shows
If
that
you're
I
listening
missed.
To us, Priscilla, if you are listening to us, you know what the circle is. I don't have to explain it. You know what the circle is.
Because I kind of only watched a couple of episodes.
But she gave Chris money. Chris money. I mean, Sia. She's a prolific songwriter, so I know that she has a lot of money because I'm sure her songs, you know, she has, as Jeff Foxworthy calls it, mailbox money, where she just opens up her mailbox and there's a check of royalties and stuff like that. But this is how you want to spend it? On Survivor players? I just don't get it. But anyway, I totally digress. But I did think about that a great deal last night. What was I gonna say? Is there anyone that wasn't chosen to be in this group of people that you really wish we're playing instead? A winner that wasn't asked back?
20 people. So there's only other 20 other, well, take away Sandra, who's won twice. So there's only
19.
Yeah. So I can't even really think of anybody, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it. I was going through the list. What's interesting is, you know, they have the majority of the female winners are on. I think only three other female winners were not included. Natalie White wasn't included. Vesepia wasn't included. And I listened to an interview with her. Rob has a podcast, did an interview with Vesepia. And she was like, yeah, of course I would have played. So she wasn't asked, you know. And then
I'm not sure I would have wanted Natalie to play again.
Natalie White? No, not necessarily. I'm just saying that that's how few female players there are, is that,
right.
You know, They had to include almost everyone. All of the women that have won, they had to include almost all of them. Natalie Vesepia and Jenna Maraska. Those were the only three that I can remember.
Well, and I don't know, maybe they didn't ask Jenna because Ethan was going to be a bigger pull for them. I don't know, but I think they're still friendly terms.
Yeah, I was just about to say that Jenna and Ethan dated for like a decade. They were together for a very long time, and I thought that would be an interesting mix to have your ex on a show like that. But
he is definitely out of his element. But going back to the strong female that's actually on the show, I was kind of taken back at how.
I forgot Tina. Tina was an aspect too. So there's four women. Tina.
But I was kind of taken back on Kim, how weak Kim came off.
How weak Kim came off?
Yeah, she came off very weak to me.
I don't know if weak is the right word. I love Kim.
She didn't have her croonies around to kind of build her up and let her run the show. She's more on the bottom, and it kind of, you can tell that it took her ego away.
Yeah, but I think that's true too. Well, so a couple things. I don't think weak is the right word. I didn't really see her as weak. Kim is. I love Kim.
I did.
She might be one of my favorite winners of all time. I don't see her winning this game at all. That being said, her first time in the game, she had a pretty slow start as well. And she really, it was the social bonds that really got her through it. And she really had to form these relationships with a lot of different people. And she's not going to get that this time around. I think, the way that she previously played is not going to work for her. And I don't know if she has that second gear to play in a different way. And I think the people that are going to go far in this game are the people that recognize that the way that they played the first time, or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, depending upon who you are, is not going to be how you win this time. So, like, Tony is someone that surprised me, where I was like, all right, Tony, like, you're doing well. You recognize that, like, you were a disaster the last time you played the game, and you know that you can't do that again. Tyson is going to be really interesting to watch, because he has to play the game a little bit differently than the last time he played. So I think
Sandra's
that
playing the backhand game, and she's won twice.
Well, that's true, but Sandra's not going to win again.
And the thing is, everybody called her out on it. Amber called her out on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the the interesting thing about Sandra is that Sandra is kind of like a wasted vote. Like, they should never vote Sandra out. But she could be like a losing finalist. She could be like the GOAT for so many people. And that would be weird to think that a two-time Survivor winner would be someone that you could drag along and beat in the final three scenario. But I do think that's Sandra.
She can talk her way out of anything. I would not underestimate that. I would not call that a goat.
I don't think she can talk her way out. I disagree with that. I think that everybody has her number. I think that
they do, and
she
that far, they're going to say kudos to her for doing it for a third time.
Well, for the... Yeah, but I don't think
away with it and getting there, and they let her do it. I wouldn't call that a goat.
I don't know. She's 100% not winning, but I do see her going far, because why would you take Sandra out? You know exactly who she is. She's not. You're absolutely right. She is not changing her game style. You know how she plays the game.
It's been so long since she's played that.
That's not true. Second chances.
Well,
she was just on second chances a couple of years ago.
there's a lot of newer people that don't understand, just like she already did in the very first episode, where she go and she's like, all these reasonable doubt things that, well, this, and she spreads it and lets everybody else spread the stuff. She just puts the seed there. It's exactly the same game that she's played every other time. And she doesn't even have to be the seed in every instance to spread it.
Oh, no, but I think that everybody has her number. I don't think she's a threat. I really don't. I don't see her. She's just Sandra at this point. And, you know, we saw it in Game Changers, too, and they let her go right before the merge. Even though I think she played a really good game on Game Changers, you know, trying to navigate the fact that you've won twice. But, you know, she's not winning for a third time. That's not happening. They're never going to give her the money in any circumstance, in any situation. They're never giving her the money. So, you know, she also has, you know, she wasn't a player in season 39, but she was on the island in season 39. You know, she has more experience with this game than anyone else, with the exception of Rob at this point. You know, she knows exactly what's happening all the time. There's a giant statue of her friggin' head on the island, and they didn't take it down. So they're playing the game, which I think is nuts. They're playing the game. Season 40 is playing with giant statues of Boston Rob and Sandra on the island, because on season 39 they had giant statues of their heads. Their heads are still there.
Yeah. I didn't see
their
that.
Their heads are still there. So, you know, I think that's all kind of crazy. But it's going to be people who are playing differently, or people they significantly underestimate. You know, Nick could get in there because nobody knows Nick. They don't know Nick. You know, Michelle, it was sad because Michelle had a confessional last night where she said that she has a lot to prove, and it's true. She had a very highly contentious win against Aubrey when everybody wanted Aubrey to win, and she feels like she needs to defend her title, and nobody should feel like that. You know, she won. She won fair and square. But it'll be interesting to see how she plays and how she does with this group of people. So there's a lot of moving pieces there. I also, weirdly, as strange as this sounds, I don't think you should sleep on Jeremy either. And I think Jeremy, now that
Natalie's gone, I think Jeremy will stick around for a little longer than what he probably would have.
Oh, I think so too. I mean, I think the best thing for his game was Natalie leaving, just like a great thing for Rob. I wish, to tell you the absolute truth, I wish that Rob left instead of Amber, because I would have liked to see Amber play without Rob. I don't necessarily need to see Rob play without Amber, but I would have liked to see Amber play without Rob. So, because it's been a minute since we've seen that.
It's possible that could mm-hmm. happen. Because, I mean, it's beneficial to both of them, even though it's Rob's ego.
It's possible, but she's already tainted.
But she, you know, maybe he goes and they decide that she would have a better chance of winning him. I mean, it's his ego.
Well,
that's true.
That's true, but she's already tainted. She already got voted out. You know, she might, yes, she can conceivably come back into the game, but, you know, she's already voted out.
Well, we've already seen that doesn't matter. You can still win the game and be tainted and come back.
I know, but I don't think it's going to go down like that this time. I don't think that this group of people are going to reward someone who was voted out of the game.
Anyways, Adam. I wouldn't count Adam out either. He can talk his way out of anything.
Yeah, I'm not going to count Adam out at all. I think he's a great person.
He was on the chopping block. And he's the one that, you know, is like, and with a little bit of Ben's help. But I think Ben being in the middle of that might get Ben in trouble a little bit.
I think
that might come back to bite Ben a little bit.
I think Ben's not the sharpest tool in the shed, to be frank. And so I think that, you know, Ben, more than anyone in any game, except with the exception of Chris, a lot of things went right for Ben to win the game. And again, he won fair and square because a jury of his peers voted for him. But he found a million idols in a row. He fire making challenge happened for the first time on Ben's season. A lot of things went his way in order for him to get the way where he did. So, you know, he didn't play the traditional game. I don't see him making correct moves in this game. So we'll see. I'm not sleeping on Sophie either. I love Sophie. And I didn't think she had a great shot of winning, but now I'm kind of like, she might be able to do something here.
And I'm sitting here saying, Sophie who? I didn't even see her on the episode last night.
But that's it. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need somebody stealth. We need somebody, you know, who's going to kind of be in the background and let some of these, like, bigger personalities fight it out. I mean, I think that's what we're ultimately going to see. So, I'm so excited that, you know, we're in a situation where we have an all-winner season. I would love an all-winners Big Brother season. Julie Chen spent the fall teasing that we would get one. I honestly thought that Celebrity Big Brother was going to transition to an all-star Big Brother season during the winter. Julie Chen on Instagram trolled us all with pictures and costumes of you know, iconic house guests just for them to tell us that they canceled Celebrity Big Brother. So I don't know what the hell she was doing. But I'm so happy that we have the Survivor version of this. And we'll be talking about it. We will be discussing it for sure. Oh, the one last thing I wanted to bring up because I tweeted about it too last night. And by the way, my Twitter, Reality Alley, that's Reality Allie. It sucks that the first two people that had to go were women who were voted out to make their male counterparts weaker. You know,
and
Natalie was voted out.
On the Amber situation, that would be understandable. But if you were going to be voting somebody out that you wanted to win, you're correct. I'd have voted Jeremy out if you're going to go between the two because he is stronger in the comps and stuff. Granted, you don't want to weaken your team this part, but you got to start taking them out at some point. And
no,
Natalie's strong in the competitions as well.
So.
Jeremy is stronger.
I disagree. Natalie is a beast when it comes to competitions. It's not, I don't think that is, you know, and the answer wasn't you had to choose between Natalie and Jeremy, by the way. There were 10 other people on that tribe anyone could have voted for. They didn't have to vote for Natalie. But they were doing it to take away a power duo. Why couldn't they vote out Jeremy?
Right.
You know, they chose Natalie for a reason. And, you know, it just sucks that, you know, two women. And again, Amber, same thing. They were doing it to make Rob weaker. and Tyson Weaker, who they thought that Tyson and Amber were super close on the tribe, but Rob ultimately Weaker, you know, so that kind of sucks that they took out two women, to make their male counterparts weaker instead of just going for the male counterpart themselves, you know.
Well, being on opposite team, kind of
well,
hard
no, no,
enough.
No, but I mean, they could have taken out. They could have taken out Tyson.
Granted, they could have taken out anybody else on the team.
Well,
they,
right,
they
but
had,
if they wanted to,
I just said,
if they
I don't,
were worried about, if they were so worried about this poker alliance, they could have taken out Tyson. Now, Amber, it makes the most sense. I mean, they're a married couple, you know, just like they should have taken out Rob first on the other tribe. I mean, here's Rob. They're married. Adam said it. You know, this is a married couple. What are you doing? They should have taken Rob out instead of Natalie, but here we are. They're taking Natalie out instead. It just it's just that's my comment. It just sucks that that's what had to happen. This group, I think, ultimately they vote for a male winner. I that's just the vibe that I get. I don't think we'll see a female winner. I think that this group of people, the way that they are, the way that they play, I don't think they'll ever vote for a woman to win. That's my take.
You'd be very right about that.
Oh, I know. I know I'm right about that. So, the other person we didn't talk about at all, which I'd have to say is probably a good thing for them, but he's on my draft team, so I want to make sure that I give him a shout-out, Wendell. I think Wendell's very much in this game. I think that he is someone that has the ability to go super far because his original season, he was not thought of as a, you know, it was him and Dominic. They were a power duo. Dominic's not in the game with him, and he won on a tie vote. So people might be underestimating his abilities because of that. So I took Wendell on my draft because of that. So I feel like he's somebody that could do well too.
He quickly adapted because he, you know, he didn't want to go in there and be the builder. He wanted to be able to socialize, but then when he realized that everybody was wanting him to be the builder, then he decided that's his role and he'll live with it. You know what I mean? So he already adapted right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that he, I know that outside of the game, he's still like a big Survivor fan. I know that he, you know, he watches it. He thinks about it. He has, you know, connections. I feel like he's smart. He's, you know, but I don't see him as an immediate target. And he's someone that, you know, he can make connections with the other new school players. So I feel like he's someone that we should be watching too in terms of somebody who could win this game. And that's why he's on my draft team, him and Yul. You know, I had to go with him and Yul and Kim. I picked Kim, even though there was no shot in winning. I had to put somebody on my team that I was actively rooting for. So there you go. That's my draft team. All right. So that's it for us for tonight. It was a good first episode back, Priscilla. You thought we were going to be rusty, and we were not.
Well, somewhat. Not sure it's going to happen every Thursday again yet, but we're on the road back to recovery. So
That's right. So keep tuned in, keep listening. We'll be back. We'll be talking some more reality TV as always. You can catch us. I'm at Reality Alley on Twitter. That's Reality Alley. Priscilla's at PSILLA. And don't miss us too much. We'll be back again soon. All right? Have a good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.